this year. I think I'm being heard. Okay, good. Couple other things I got to apologize for. I'm usher this month. Forgot to light the candles. So whoever did that, thank you. And the other thing I have to apologize for, I'm also a trustee, and I was supposed to get a C-cell battery for that clock back there. But in retrospect, I think that's an advantage for me. The clock's not working, so. Pastor Bob, do you have a sermon ready? I was sitting at a table back. I think that's why I forgot to light the candles. So I was sitting back there, and Bob and Pat walked in. I says, man, tough audience. No, good to see you here, Pastor Bob. So glad you're here. My text this morning is going to be in Numbers chapter 13. I'm going Old Testament on you here. And while you're looking that up, Numbers 13, and I'll be doing verses 26 through chapter 14, verse 4. And while you're looking that up, it seems like things happen to me. I've always got stories to tell, and sometimes they're in the same vein as my sermon. This one, not so much. But I was out, as some of you know, or most of you probably know, I drive truck very occasionally for Techniques. Tony Feaster is my boss, and I was out by Duluth about a month and a half ago, and I might have told some people this story, but I got south of Duluth on 35. It was raining, hard, heavy rain, and all of a sudden a red light comes up on the dash telling me to shut the truck down. And I also found out that that doesn't give you much time to pull over to the side of the road. After about a minute, it shut down on its own. But anyway, so I got pulled over, and no idea. The gauges, as soon as that light came on, I looked at the gauges. The oil pressure was good. All the stuff was good. No idea what's wrong. So I sit there pondering for about 5 or 10 minutes, and I decide to try start the truck again. Well, it started right up again, and there were no lights on, so I went down the road a few more miles. Same thing happened, except this time a little amber light came on along with it. And you know, these lights don't tell you what's wrong. They just give you a little symbol. So luckily I had my, you know, the smartphone does come in handy sometimes. So I pulled the smartphone out and I looked to see what this symbol means, and I find out. And as soon as I found out what it was, I knew what I had done wrong. I mean, this kind of stuff keeps us humble. I had stopped to fill gas diesel fuel in Roseau before I left. And there's a tank on the left and one on the right. Well, I filled the passenger side tank first, and then I swung around and filled the other one and then took off. And I knew what I had done wrong, and I was almost afraid to walk around to the other side to look. I had left the gas cap off on the passenger side, and sure enough, it was off. And so then I had to figure out how to get the water out of the fuel. And so, smartphone again, I looked it up, and simple process of just draining the fuel filter and drive down the road until it fills up again, then do it again. So it turned out okay, but it kept me humble. Sometimes we think we're a little bit, we've got it all figured out, and then we find out we don't. So anyway, if you're at Numbers chapter 13, I'm going to go ahead and read this morning's scripture. And I think we'll stand as we read the word of God this morning. Okay, starting at verse 26, Numbers 13, reading through 14, verse 4. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the passages of scripture that have been read this morning. And may we always turn to your word when we think about you, and help us to, and just guide our lives by the words we find in scripture. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with the rest of our time here together, and I covet your presence here among us. And please help me as I'm up here. And I just want to say the words that you give me and nothing else, Lord. I just pray this in your name. Amen. Now we look at this passage of scripture, and I've done a little bit of looking at different things. And I think this all happens about a year or so after the Israelites left Egypt, and we wonder, and of course we, and I often bring this up when I get up here, it's, you know, we have the scriptures to read and we know the outcome, and it's easy for us to say that, boy, I would have been with Joshua and Caleb, and I would have taken so to speak the bull by the horns and gone right in unafraid. But you know, we, as I said, we have the opportunity to read these things, but would we really have been that way at that time? And the other thing I think about is, since it was so close to the parting of the Red Sea and the escape from Egypt, you would have thought that some of that would have carried over, and the belief of that, of what God can do, would have still been with them. But sometimes we can easily get swayed by the opinions of people around us, and as we look at the scripture, and we talk about the bad report given by the other 10 spies, and I like the word hyperbole. Does everybody know what hyperbole means? It's like an exaggeration. It's a big, you're telling a story, but you exaggerate things, and you look at that, and they talk about the men being giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. They made it sound like this was an impossible task. No matter what God had said, what God had commanded, this was not possible to do. And I think about these things sometimes. You know, would I really have been? Which side would I have fallen on? I mean, I hope I would have fallen on Joshua and Caleb's side, and just gone ahead with confidence. And another thing that I just, and this is kind of a side note, but when I was reading these scriptures, I went back to look what tribes all these spies were from. What tribes, you know, they talk about the 10 lost tribes. Which tribes exist today? Does anybody know? Well, I wasn't sure, but it was Benjamin and Judah and a few Levites. And what tribes do you suppose Caleb and Joshua were from? Benjamin and Judah. And I'm not sure if that means anything. It's just something that I kind of found out. And we talk about the scriptures where it says, you know, the sins of the father are visited upon generations after, three or four generations after. And I think about that along with this. And we look at, I've been so fortunate in my lifetime to have had godly parents, godly grandparents on both sides of my family. And don't get the idea I'm saying that because of that I'm a better person or because of that I'm a Christian. But it made it easier to follow in their footsteps if they believed. I mean, it took me a while to figure it all out, but I had that heritage of Bible-believing, God-fearing people around me, and by extension, the friends that they chose to hang out with and the church family as well. Boy, it's still only 2 minutes after nine. I got along. And, you know, usually I come up here with about 7 or 8 up to 10 pages of notes, and I pick and choose. I did one page of notes this time. I mean, this is stepping out for me, let me tell you. And we look at some of these things in these verses we read, and we look at the beginning, like verses 26 and 27, and especially verse 27, they came back, and at the end of verse 26, they showed him the fruit of the land, and they told him, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." So I suppose the people at that point are thinking, boy, let's go. What's holding us back? Let's do this. But then it comes, "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." And then it goes on to talk about the Amalekites, the Hittites, and Amorites, among others. And so the Caleb and Joshua weren't just bringing them the good news. They also brought the drawbacks, should we say, the challenges that are ahead of us, you know. And in our lives, we can kind of see what might be ahead of us, what might be good, but can we get there? And what's our challenges? And, you know, I went to the Summer Institute this week. It was a good week. Of course, most of it's directed at pastors, and that's not really me, but there's stuff to learn. And this I have a book I'm going to be putting in the library. I actually read it. That's pretty good. I got two or three other books I still need to get through. But it's called The Grasshopper Myth. And it's aimed towards pastors of small churches, which we are. And it talks a little bit about the challenges in front of small churches, and to figure out through studying and praying and growing as a body together what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, and what we should be doing to come together and become healthy ourselves so we can go out in our communities and share the love of God. And that's kind of the challenge in front of us. We you know, we're not going to go out and fight the people in the land around us physically, but we need to see the challenges that God has for us, or the jobs God has for us, and equip ourselves to do it. Boy, I'm not following my notes even very good. But you know, and we have to be careful of people who, we have to be careful of who we listen to when we do these things. There's going to always be some around us and in different situations that say, not to use the word discourage us, but you know, how can this be done? And we know that through the Holy Spirit and God's leading, if we are paying attention to God's will. And I always talk about praying they talk about asking for big things. When you pray, you ask for big things. Now, that's not to say that I want a Ferrari, you know. I'm not going to pray for that. We pray for the things that are going to further God's kingdom here on earth. We pray for God's leading and ask for us to be able to be an effect on our world for God's glory, not for our own. If a church, I think sometimes a church can grow in numbers, but the numbers don't always reflect health. And I'm not going to, what time is it? It's only 10 after, man. I'm going to get you out of here early the way it looks. Oh, I got to tell you a story, another one. I was out golfing last night. Oh, I call it golf. And anyway, there's a tall tree between me and the green, okay? There's a couple of golfers here. So I could either try to go under the branches or go for it and go over the thing. So I chose the ladder and I hit a nice high shot. Didn't quite make it over the tree, and I was, it failed. So we're not going to talk about the failure here. We're going to talk about the going for it. And one of the guys said, after I had failed in getting past the tree, he says, God doesn't want us to be cowards. So we won't talk about the failure part, but I at least I went for it. And I want to read a couple of scriptures, Proverbs 3, and they're all three of these are real familiar scriptures. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, when I was saying, when David asked me if he should read all the scriptures, I said, yeah, read them, read all three of them, because I'm not using any of them as my text. And what I usually do when I do this, I'll pick a topic 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, and then I find the scriptures that go with that topic. And I told them, maybe I should be doing it the other way around. Maybe I should be using the scriptures that are put in front of us and find something in them. And that's just to illustrate that I don't mean to just push a topic across that I believe in, but I got to make sure that I'm speaking about the things that of God and not leaning on my own thinking to find these things. So that's a good scripture. I consult it often, and I'll probably use it quite a few times when I'm up here. And another one is James 1, verse 5, about seeking wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I'm going to go on to verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. That's tough. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That kind of, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I read about four verses there instead of the one. And also Philippians 4, 6. One's pretty familiar. I know we had for a while we were doing a little study at our house once a month, and this verse and the verses around it were the impetus of a series of messages we watched. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then I'll go on to verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And as you noticed, the scripture I chose for my text had the grasshopper verse in it. And that was the text that started this book. And do we look at ourselves as grasshoppers? Or do we look at ourselves as as workers and warriors for Christ? How do we see ourselves? And what can we do as individuals and a church? Are we strong and healthy enough to do God's work in our community? These are questions that I came up with and things to think about. Are we grasshoppers? Think on these things, pray and study individually and with one another. Talk with others about your ideas and concerns. And it made me think, and not that I think so greatly of my abilities, but I think we should make ourselves available to one another to meet, to read, maybe read scripture on occasion, to pray. And I would make myself available if my schedule permits, if you want to give me a call. And Pastor Schmidtke, I know he feels the same way. Just get together and pray or read scripture. I'd walk around town with you on my bum knee and pray for the town. Do anything you want. But let's work together and make sure that we are in tune with God and with what He would have for us. And I grew up in the Evangelical Covenant Church, and I'm not sure how closely they follow these idioms today as they did then. But there used to be two things that they would say back in the old days. If you were having a discussion about spiritual things, one of the questions that would be asked is, where is it written? And the other one was, how was your walk today? You get together and talk. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the time we spent together. Lord, just help us as we go through our days to seek you.
Marv, when you spoke there, you jogged my memory on a couple of things. And at the beginning of verse 13 of that same book, Numbers, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I, God, give unto the children of Israel. So God had already been setting the pace for them when he took them out of Exodus, all the miracles and so forth that he did for the children, and the opportunity that they had. Where was their trust? Looking at men, except Jacob and Caleb didn't, but the rest of the leaders were looking at men in the fear that came into them. Wouldn't they have known that God was already gone before them? All they had to do was call upon his name. Jacob and Caleb probably were seeking a closer walk with God, because Jacob said, as far